ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1, the first step in God realization, text 12. Please repeat. King,
King,
Pramatasya,
Pramatasya,
Bahubi,
Bahubi,
Parokshair,
Parokshair,
Hayanair,
Hayanair,
Iha,
Iha,
Varam,
Varam,
Muhurtam,
Muhurtam,
Viditam,
Viditam,
Gattate,
Gattate,
Shreyase,
Shreyase,
Yataha,
Yataha,
Kim Pramattasya Bahubi,
Kim Pramattasya Bahubi,
Parokshair Hayanair Iha,
Parokshair Hayanair Iha,
Varam Muhurtam Viditam,
Varam Muhurtam Viditam,
Gatate Shreyase Yatha,
Gatate Shreyase Yatha,
Kim Pramattasya Bahubi,
Kim Pramattasya Bahubi,
Parokshai Hayanair Iha,
Parokshai Hayanair Iha,
Varam Muhurtam Viditam,
Varam Muhurtam Viditam,
Gatate Shreyase Yatha,
Gatate Shreyase Yatha,
Kim,
Kim,
what is,
what is,
Pramattasya,
Pramattasya,
of the bewildered,
of the bewildered,
Bahubi,
Bahubi,
by many,
by many,
Parokshai,
Parokshai,
inexperience,
inexperience,
Hayanai,
Hayanai,
years,
years,
Iha,
Iha,
in this world,
in this world,
Varam,
Varam,
better,
better,
Muhurtam,
Muhurtam,
a moment,
a moment,
Viditam,
Viditam,
conscious,
conscious,
Gatate,
Gatate,
one can try for,
one can try for,
Shreyase,
Shreyase,
in the matter of the supreme interest,
in the matter of the supreme interest,
Yataha,
Yataha,
by that,
by that.
Translation: what is the value of a prolonged life which is wasted, inexperienced by years in this world? Better a moment of full consciousness, because that gives one a start in searching after his supreme interest. Please repeat. What is the value,
what is the value
of a prolonged life,
of a prolonged life,
which is wasted,
which is wasted,
inexperience,
inexperience,
by years in this world,
by years in this world.
Better a moment of full consciousness,
better a moment of full consciousness,
because that gives one a start,
because that gives one a start,
in searching after,
in searching after,
his supreme interest,
his supreme interest.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Shukadeva Goswami instructed Maharaj Parikshit about the importance of the chanting of the holy name of the Lord by every progressive person. in order to encourage the king, who had only 7 remaining days of life, Srila Shukadeva Goswami asserted that there is no use in living hundreds of years without any knowledge of the problems of life. Better to live for a moment with full consciousness of the supreme interest to be fulfilled. The supreme interest of life is eternal, with full knowledge and bliss. Those who are bewildered by the external features of the material world are engaged in the animal propensities of the eat, drink, and be merry type of life, are simply wasting their lives by the unseen passing away of valuable years. We should know in perfect consciousness that human life is bestowed upon the conditioned soul to achieve spiritual success. And the easiest possible procedure to attain this end is to chant the holy name of the Lord. In the previous verse, we have discussed this point to a certain extent, and we may further be enlightened on the different types of offenses committed unto the feet of the holy name. Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhu has quoted many passages from authentic scriptures and has ably supported the statements in the matter of offenses at the feet of the holy name. From Vishnu Yamala Tantra, Srila Jiva Goswami has proven that one can be liberated from the effects of all sins simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Quoting from the Markandeya Purana, Sri Goswamiji says that one should neither blaspheme the devotee of the Lord nor indulge in hearing others who are engaged in belittling a devotee of the Lord. A devotee should try to restrict the vilifier by cutting out his tongue. You better be careful. We take the words of scripture literally here. And being unable to do so, one should commit suicide rather than hear the blaspheming of the devotee of the Lord. The conclusion is that one should neither hear nor allow vilification of a devotee of the Lord. As far as distinguishing the Lord's holy name from the names of the demigods, the revealed scriptures, Bhagavad Gita 10:41, disclose that all extraordinarily powerful beings are but parts and parcels of the supreme energetic Lord Krishna. Except for the Lord himself, everyone is subordinate. No one is independent of the Lord, since no one is more powerful than or equal to the energy of the Supreme Lord. No one's name can be as powerful as that of the Lord. By chanting the Lord's holy name, one can derive all the stipulated energy synchronized from all sources. Therefore, one should not equalize the supreme holy name of the Lord with any other name. Brahma, Shiva, or any other powerful God can never be equal to the Supreme Lord Vishnu. The powerful holy name of the Lord can certainly deliver one from sinful effects. But one who desires to utilize this transcendental potency of the holy name of the Lord in one's sinister activities is the most degraded person in the world. Such persons are never excused by the Lord or by any agent of the Lord. One should, therefore, utilize one's life in glorifying the Lord by all means without any offense. Such activity of life, even for a moment, is never to be compared to a prolonged life of ignorance, like the lives of the tree and other living entities who may live for thousands of years without prosecuting spiritual advancement. Translation again. What is the value of a prolonged life which is wasted, inexperienced by years in this world? Better a moment of full consciousness, because that gives one a start in searching after his supreme interest. So we have gathered specifically on the occasion of two birthdays in the family. And so we naturally think of the passage of time. We need not give any specifics, but in each case, say someone is 21 years old, so that person has passed 21 years of her life, and how to what purpose has the 21 years been used? That is the big question. Now, someone may have passed more years. I've passed 64. To what purpose have I used the time of my life? Have I used it to the best purpose? And how could I do better? So these are questions that we all can ask ourselves and should ask ourselves. Now, in this verse, we find the word Shreyase in the matter of the supreme interest. There are two words in Sanskrit, Shreyas and Prayas. Prayas means immediate gratification, and Shreyas means ultimate benefit. So generally, children, for example, are interested in immediate gratification. I went to a program earlier And the first question from one of the little children running around is, when is prasad? Of course, prasad is transcendental, so it's also part of Shreyas. But the parents and guardians and teachers of the children teach them that you might like to just play all day, but if you play all day and don't go to school, don't learn your lessons, you will not be well equipped for your later life, and you will suffer. So it is better to give up, voluntarily give up your play, so that you can be educated, and then later in your life, you will not suffer, but you will be better equipped for the rest of your life. Now, spiritually, what does that mean? The first instruction of the Bhagavad Gita is we are not the body, but the soul. Part and parcel of the Supreme Soul. And our ultimate self-interest is to reestablish our relationship with the Supreme Soul. That is our long-term interest. But sometimes we are like children. We want to fool around, making money and spending money and going here and there. Not that making money and spending money are bad, per se, but if they're done outside of Krishna consciousness, they are part of prayas, just immediate gratification. Immediate means related to this temporary body. We might think, oh, well, I'm not like a child who just wants to play and make mud pies or sand castles. I'm being very responsible. I'm making money. I'm investing it in real estate. I'm investing in the stock market. And I'm putting it in fixed deposits, and I'm thinking of the future. But what is that future? It's as temporary as the body. And when the body is gone, you're not going to know anything about your real estate or fixed deposits or investments. Well, it's not for me, it's for my children and grandchildren. You're not going to know anything of them either. You're going to be somewhere else. And all of these bodily relations are going to be lost in oblivion. This, 40 years ago, Srila Prabhupada was talking about people who were worried about petroleum, that the source of petroleum will run out, and they're worried how will their children and grandchildren and great grandchildren fuel their motor vehicles. He said he is so worried about how their grandchildren will run the motor cars, but he's not thinking that he could be born as a cockroach and live in the back seat of the car driven by his grandchild. So what is the use of that? so, yes, that's good. We want to be, you know, responsible financially and take care of our family members. But that is just a more expanded form of prayas. It is not one's ultimate self-interest or the ultimate interest of one's family members outside of Krishna consciousness. So we have to think of the soul. What is in the interest of the soul? My soul, my husband's soul, my wife's soul, my children's soul. That is Shreyas. And so every individual and family's activities should be organized in a way that is favorable for their ultimate self-interest. And the best method, as we heard in the purport and as was emphasized in the previous verse, which I'll read because it's such a nice verse. Text 11. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities, is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all. Young man, do you know? Yes. Yes. Now, do you know the Sanskrit for fearless? Abai. Yes, abai. Yes.
Very good.
Arriba. So, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. So we want to organize our lives in such a way as to fulfill the ultimate purpose, gain the ultimate benefit for ourselves and family members and friends. And that means to accommodate constant chanting of the holy names after the ways of the authorities, which means as part of the regular program that they've given us, and in particular, without offense. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada has chosen to discuss three important offenses out of the ten. The first one is to belittle devotees. Now this is something that we need to pay attention to. Because we meet with devotees from time to time. We may meet with devotees frequently. We may live with devotees. And if we see them in a material way, then we will find faults in them. Because everyone has faults from a certain point of view. Srila Prabhupada said that even in the spiritual world, there are faults. Actually, they're not faults, but from a certain point of view, there are faults. He said that sometimes when Krishna is thinking of Srimati Radharani, he becomes so bewildered that he tries to milk a bull instead of a cow. So from a certain point of view, one could say that is a fault. And the gopis, when they hear Krishna play on his flute, they become so eager to meet him that they quickly put on their clothing and makeup and decorations, and sometimes they put their top parts on the bottom and bottom parts on the top, and put their eye ointment on their lips or their, and they look like little children who don't really know how to dress but are like playing at dressing up like adults. So from a certain point of view, that's also a fault. So Srila Prabhupada said that even in the spiritual world, there are faults. But we should not be like the flies who look for the sores, but we should be like the bees who look for the nectar, who look for the honey. And that will help us to progress, to chant the holy name without offense. The next offense that Srila Prabhupada chose to discuss in the purport is equating the demigods with the Supreme Lord Vishnu, or Krishna. Now, many people, I mean, we could say Hindus, but now with the importation of different varieties of yoga, even different types of kirtan, it's more general that people may misunderstand and think that all the names are the same, as good as any other. Names of Brahma and Shiva are as good as the name of Vishnu or Krishna. And there was probably still is there a famous weekly journal in India called the Illustrated Weekly of India. And for most, I think maybe the whole time that we were with Srila Prabhupada in India, the editor was Kushwant Singh, who was a skeptic. He was a skeptic. So there was an article in the Illustrated Weekly. There were a number of articles about us, and I'm not sure how this particular article, I don't remember the exact sequence, but there was I think it was Austrian, he was a scholar, and he came to India, and he got into the association of impersonalists or Shaivites and got initiated, and he took on the name Agenda Bharati. But he had a PhD, he was a scholar. He was sort of known as Dr. Agenda Bharati. So he criticized us for focusing exclusively on chanting Hare Krishna, and in general for focusing exclusively on Krishna. And, you know, he was saying, like, all the gods are the same, all the names are the same, and then he got in his words about Shiva. And so there was this sort of dialogue in the Illustrated Weekly of India. And the editor is very clever. He's very clever. And so he reproduced Dr. Bharati's arguments and our arguments under the heading Hare Krishna versus Shiva Shiva. And I knew exactly what he was doing. He was trying to make us both look silly. Just as we discussed the impersonalists in Madras or anywhere, you know, that, oh, how silly, you know. They're arguing like little children, you know, Krishna supreme, you know, Shiva supreme. So I wrote Srila Prabhupada my analysis of what Kushwant Singh was doing. And he said, yes. Bharati is a fool, but Singh is a demon. So people have that idea, but actually, it's an offense to consider them equal. But it takes hearing, you know, from authority to understand the difference. Of course, in the beginning, anyone can chant. We want people to hear the holy name and chant. But if they have misconceptions, then they won't get the full benefit. And therefore, they need association. And therefore, the previous verse says, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of great authorities. In other words, in the way that the previous acharyas have explained the holy name and the process of chanting and devotional service. So sometimes that can be difficult, especially in Hindu families where there has been a history of demigod worship. Because the other family members are afraid that if they, you know, remove the deities of the demigods or whatever, there will be some bad result. You know, generally, they worship the demigods to get some good material result. And so they'll have Shiva, Ganesh, Durga, the whole family. And then if someone becomes a Vaishnav, pure Vaishnav, then they get nervous, like if we... you know, we don't want to offend them because our prosperity, our good health, or whatever. But that's all right because they're all devotees. Shiva, all the demigods, by definition, they're all devotees of Krishna. So as long as we understand that they're devotees, that's not a problem. They can be there. But if there is offenseless chanting of the holy name and good association, then gradually things will change. There is a devotee in Bombay, householder devotee, Dr. N.D. Desai, who was later initiated as Srinathji Das. So he, they had different deities in their temple room, as temple room at home, and the main deity was Lakshmi Narayan. So eventually he got Radha Krishna, and it was sort of like that, you know, Lakshmi Narayan were in the center, the demigods were around, and Radha and Krishna were on the side, sort of in the corner. I said, don't worry. Eventually they'll take over. You don't have to worry. Don't even worry about it. You know? Just keep chanting and reading and doing everything. And it happened. You know, gradually the demigods got moved to like a lower level off to the side, and Radha Krishna got moved to the center, and it happened without any confrontation, or it just happened. But there was good association, and defense was chanting. And as Srila Prabhupada said, because Krishna is the origin of everything and everyone, he is the origin of the demigods. The demigods are his servants. So when one chants the holy name of Krishna, one gets the benefit as if he were also chanting the names of the demigods separately, because they're all included in Krishna. And then the last offense mentioned in the purport is committing sin on the strength of chanting. That's very serious. It is a fact that if one chants the holy name without offense, he or she can neutralize the effects of sins committed in the past. But if someone makes a calculation, oh well, this is a very good arrangement. I can engage in sinful activities and then I'll just chant and neutralize the effects. Now that is considered, in a way, that can be more harmful than the sin itself, that mentality of using the holy name as a device to engage in sinful activities and then neutralize the effects. And, sometimes maybe a more mild version filters in among devotees. And anyway, I'm a devotee. It doesn't matter. I can do this. I'm a devotee. Krishna will protect me. It's so, sort of a variation on that. But we should be careful. And one of the preliminary items of devotion, preliminary means one of the first ten, let's put that, of the 64, one of the first ten, is to not give pain to any living entity. It's an item of devotional service. Not just our family and friends or devotees or just any living entity. So if we have this abhiman, this conception, you know, I'm a devotee, they're just karmis or whatever, I'm a human being, they're just animals, and we think, oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we hurt them. Because I'm a devotee. You know, Krishna will, protected by Krishna. I'm special because I'm a devotee. So that, that could be sort of a subtle manifestation of that offense. Of course, we're in the material world. You really can't completely avoid causing pain. But we definitely want to try to avoid causing pain. Now, someone may say, well, what about Krishna and Arjuna in the Battle of Kurukshetra? Krishna told Arjuna to fight and kill so many people. Isn't that causing pain? But Srila Prabhupada explains that was for the ultimate good. That was for the ultimate good. And so for the sake of Shreyas, we may have to interrupt a person's pursuit of prayas, which may feel painful to them, but which is necessary. Just like a child. I mean, the child may not want to go to school or stop playing. And if you stop the child's playing or whatever, force the child to go to school, the child may cry. But does that stop the responsible parent? No. Because he or she knows that it's for the child's ultimate benefit. You can't just play all day. Right, Namruchi? All right, so anyway. I'm probably doing Vaishnava Aparad right in front of everyone. But we can't just let people play all day because it's ultimately not good for them. Or even say eat what they want. It happens, especially with when say someone has high cholesterol or heart condition or diabetes. So their spouse will say, "No, don't eat that. It's not good for you. You know, you might want to eat it. It might make you feel good now, but it's not good for you. You'll suffer later." So that might be unpalatable to hear at a particular time, but it's for the person's benefit. And sometimes we have to say things that are not palatable. A devotee recently discovered a recording of a conversation between Srila Prabhupada and George Harrison that was not known before. The transcript is not in the Veda base. About a half hour conversation. And George Harrison was trying to present the message of Krishna consciousness. And a lot of people didn't like it. And so he brought this up to Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes he thought, you know, am I doing the right thing? Because I'm saying things about Krishna consciousness and people are getting upset. You know, maybe I'm doing more harm than good. And Srila Prabhupada replied that the thing is that when it comes to Krishna consciousness, we have to speak the truth, even if some people don't like it. So he sort of went on in that vein. And then he said, but who wouldn't like it? What is the problem? What are we just telling people to chant Hare Krishna and, you know, lead a good life? Who won't like it? It sort of reminded me of an interview between a newspaper reporter, a big one, I think maybe from Newsweek magazine or the New York Times. Anyway. And so the question was, how do you deal with negativity? So, Srila Prabhupada said, what do you mean by negativity? He said, well, you know, people don't like you, or people don't like what you stand for. And Srila Prabhupada said, in the material world, which is the world of duality, there's always negativity. Everyone faces negativity. Do you not face negativity? Yeah, I also face negativity. So why are you asking me? So then she said, well, I want to know how you deal with it. You know, people may not like what you're saying, so how do you deal with that? And he said, well, the reason they don't like what we're saying is because they're ignorant. So how do we deal with it? We give them our books. And then he said, you know, every month, you know, we sell so many books, we have so much income. And so, so how can we say they're negative when they're buying our books? And then the newspaper interviewer said, that's quite a positive outlook. So, yeah, for a devotee, there's no defeat, because we know that if there's negativity, it's because people are ignorant, and if they're ignorant, we give them a book or give them prasad, and, you know, purify their consciousness by some other means, and eventually there's hope that they will come to chant and hear and accept the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So, thinking of the passing of time, 21 years, 64 years, whatever number of years, I think back on my last visit here, my last program, and every single person who was here for my last program. Do you remember when my last program was?
4 years ago.
So everyone who was here for my last program, every one of you who's in this room who was here for my last program, is older than you were then. Including me. Every single one of us, every single one who sat here 4 years ago is older than we were then. That means that 4 years of our life is gone. It's gone. We can never get it back. And as Srila Prabhupada said, that from the moment of birth, we have a certain amount of time allotted. So every day, you could say we're dying. So, okay, 21 years have passed. You could say, I've died 21 years. 21 years has been taken off of my duration of life. So we're all 4 years older, which means we've all lost 4 years from our duration of life. But there's one person in this room who has not grown older. Krishna was here 4 years ago, and he's the same as he was then, and 4 years from now he'll still be the same. So this gives us a very profound insight into where we can develop a relationship that will not be vanquished by time, and that is with Krishna. Even if we leave our bodies, the soul will continue and our relationship with Krishna will continue. And that's why we chant the holy name and do everything else, so that we can develop our eternal relationship with Krishna, which will not be subject to deterioration or the passage of time. And therefore, we should always chant
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. So, any questions or comments? Yes, David Darshan.
That we tell the devotees to understand, and also to tell them in a certain way to stop criticizing, and also remove ourselves from the thing completely. How not to be part of this situation.
Mm. Would you like to answer
this? I'm happy listening to you.
Well, you more or less said it, that it really depends on the context. A lot depends on the context. But if it's the sort of casual fault-finding that goes on, we should avoid it. And as you said, the best way is to change the subject. And if you can't change the subject, then just excuse yourself. There could be a case which, in which a devotee is like very upset because of something that another devotee did. And then they come to you. It's not like the usual sort of in the kitchen, blah, 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 or taking prasad, blah, blah, blah. But it's something happened, and one devotee is very upset and like has to like tell someone. So then you can hear, well, again, it depends sort of what they say and what their mood is, but if they're just like temporarily upset, confused, hurt, you can listen and answer in such a way as to relieve them of their distress and their whatever anger or hurt and so on, so that they see the other devotee in a better way. Now, most devotees, unless they're very advanced, they, you know, have their human weaknesses, but they're devotees. They're trying to serve Krishna. That's the main thing. So, you know, if a devotee has a weakness which has caused some confusion to another devotee, we can acknowledge it, but put it in context. Context means in the context of the person's, you know, sincere desire to serve. I had one experience where It was like one of my god brothers had done something that hurt me some years earlier, which I had forgotten about. You know, well, I didn't have much interaction with that god brother, but very good devotee. And somehow one day, while I was at the beach with His Holiness Radhanath Swami chanting japa, that memory of my experience with that god brother came very strongly in my mind. And, you know, I was chanting, I was thinking maybe by chanting it will go away, but it didn't go away. And then I thought, well, I'll just discuss it with Radhanaswami. So I explained everything, and he knew the god brother is a very wonderful devotee. And you know, looking at the ocean, what he said was that, you know, in that god brother's heart, what's there? If you go to the core of that god brother's heart, it's love for Srila Prabhupada and service to Srila Prabhupada. But we're in the material world, and there's all sorts of influences around us. And even a pure devotee can be subject to those influences. And then he gave the example of the waves. You know, the waves originate because of the wind. You know, the wind is blowing and then the waves come. And if you're in the water, a wave can come and hit you. It could knock you over. You know, even if you're not, a big wave can come and get you wet, which you don't like. But we shouldn't be preoccupied with the waves. The waves come and go according to the wind and other factors. But we should see the ocean. You know, underneath the waves, the ocean is still. And so, you know, under whatever wave might rise and fall and hit you or knock you over, underneath, it's love for Prabhupada and service for Prabhupada, and that's the main thing. I thought that was a very good answer, and it was very helpful to me. Any other questions or comments?
This is my personal feeling, so I just thought that I should share with you that this is natural, this is right or wrong.
Well, in every endeavor, there's ups and downs. In business, in sports, in music, I mean, there's always ups and downs. So the general answer is just continue. But if we examine more closely, we may find that there are reasons why our progress has slowed. And a very common reason is offenses. You know, in the beginning, we were just so grateful to have found Krishna consciousness and the association of devotees. We just see them as devotees. They're chanting, they're teaching us, they're serving, they're creating the facilities so we can come to the temple and get association. But again, you know, after sort of like what the, you know, familiarity breeds contempt, you spend more time and then you start to see faults, and then it affects your progress. Related to that, well, that's one offense. The other would be material desires. And that comes from bad association. Bad association means the normal association you get in the world. And so people who are either materialistic or devotees with mixed desires, who sort of advise you, you know, not to be a pure devotee, you know. We're not pure devotees. You're no pure devotee, you know. Get real. You know you have other desires. And you, you know. So, association. You know, with a certain type of association, our natural conditioned tendency to have other desires can be increased. And then that slows our progress. His Holiness Shivaram Swami has discussed this topic very elaborately in his book Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani, that one may get the seed of pure devotional service. What we all got from Srila Prabhupada and from is the seed of pure devotional service. But, and this, he derives this from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that seed of pure devotional service, or the creeper of pure devotional service, can become mixed. It starts pure, but it can become mixed. And then, you know, it becomes weak. Or I guess in terms of Chaitanya Charitamrita, weeds can grow up, and if we're not attentive, then the weeds suck the water, the nutrients that are meant for the creeper. The creeper becomes weak. But he says that process of becoming weak can be reversed. And there are details, you know, like different causes of weakness, it's really analytically discussed, all varieties of mixing of pure devotional service. But after reading all the different varieties, it's sort of like the solution for each and every one of them is to associate with pure devotees. You know, in the mood of regaining one's strength, you know, the enthusiasm that one had in the beginning. And, you know, going to festivals, so many things, kirtan, retreats, they all help. But it's good if we notice that and, become aware of it and want to check it and reverse it. It can be reversed. It can be reversed. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.